bread. Lord bless you, buddy. Come on. Thank you for coming.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 107. Let you know I'm a little uncomfortable. I don't have a tie on. Bruce told me I didn't have to wear a tie, and I felt like a rebel. So, kind of loose. I hope Lord gives me much more liberty than that. Psalm 107. Had a title for the message, it would be Sailors in Great Waters. Sailors in Great Waters. And you're going to find out this. You believers, you're sailors. And you're going to do business in great waters. Great waters. Psalm 107, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So He bringeth them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. In this blessed psalm the Lord gives us by His Holy Spirit, I want you to know that this psalm is not for everyone. This psalm is particularly for the redeemed. For the redeemed. He states this at the very beginning of the psalm. You go back at the very beginning. He says, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. Listen, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord, this message is for those who understand the goodness of God, that God is good. Only the redeemed understand that. Only the redeemed have any experience in this mercy that endures forever. And only the redeemed of the Lord will say so. Only the redeemed of the Lord will give thanks unto God. Now, let me ask you, is there any greater thing for a sinner greater thing that God can do for a sinner than redeem him by the blood of Christ? Is there anything greater than that? No. No, there's nothing greater. For of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's just a proper thing for redeemed people to give praise and thanks, isn't it? The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, because of the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. That's just reasonable, isn't it? For a believer, if you think of Christ's redemption and God's salvation, it's just reasonable for you to give thanks and to offer all that you have and all that you are to praise God. It's just reasonable. That's just reasonable. And so tonight I'm speaking to redeemed people, those who have been gathered. Bruce mentioned that message this Sunday, wonderful message, how Christ the shepherd gathers His children. Everybody's redeemed, before they're gathered. And when they're redeemed, they will be gathered. He gathers them and brings them in by faith. And this psalm is written for them, those who are eternally loved of the Father, those who are redeemed by the blood of Christ, those who are called by the effectual power of the Holy Spirit. That's you. That's who I'm talking to. I got my audience this morning, this afternoon. I got an audience. Redeemed. But now then that you're redeemed by the blood of Christ, does this mean that you are exempt from trouble? Is any one of those purchased by the blood of Christ exempt from any trouble? No. Scriptures are very clear concerning this, especially we'll see in our text. Matter of fact, we are surrounded by trouble. We are surrounded by it. We are surrounded by cruel enemies who seek to overthrow the throne of Christ that is set up in your heart. Every single day, you are surrounded by them and you are attacked by them daily. You are not exempt from them. And the moment you think you're exempt, the moment you think you've got this, you've already fallen. The moment you think you're exempt from trouble, you're in trouble already. And you just don't know it. We're not exempt. This world is set against the gospel of Christ. Satan is always walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom the Lord will give him permission to attack. He will. He is ready. He is ready. Let us not forget that the world is set against the gospel of Christ. Satan seeks to devour us. And that old wily thing called the flesh. Philpott says he's like a serpent that intertwines with every fiber of your being, constantly dragging you back down to the earth, tempting you. And because of these enemies, because the world is corrupt and cursed, every redeemed child of God must and will face troubles. Now, this psalm is one of these psalms that gives out four different characters of every believer in Christ. The first one that you'd read about in this psalm is called a wanderer. They wandered. God's people are wanderers. That's how He found us, isn't it? He found us in a wandering, in a waste, howling wilderness. Well, guess what? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We're wanderers. The other character is a rebel. A rebel. What redeemed person cannot identify with that? Always the flesh seeking to have his way. I will not have this man to rule over me is constantly the cry of our flesh. We're rebels. The other character is that of the fool. What believer cannot see themselves as a fool? A man who has no regard for his own well-being. And that's the definition of a fool, isn't it? We don't have any regard for our own well-being. We reject those people that would help us and embrace those people that would hurt us. That's the nature of us. That's the nature of every believer. And so these characters represent believers. But you'll notice something about these characters. Every one of these characters, the fool, the wanderer, and the rebel, they all are made to do something. They're all found to be in trouble. And at the end of themselves, you will find them all doing one thing. They will cry unto the Lord. And God will do one thing for them. He will deliver them out of all their trouble. It is repeated throughout this whole psalm. And so we see ourselves in these characters. But now I come to this one in our text and it's different. The character of the mariner is somewhat different. And that's what I want to focus on. Look at verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships do business in great waters. We have a clear picture here of one that takes a journey. This is no fool. This is no rebel. This is no wanderer. This is a person dedicated to some business. He's serious about some business. He is going down into the ships on purpose to do business. And all of a sudden, God commands this storm to come up in the sea, and the waves that were once placid Now begin to raise that small craft, and soon the storms lift him up to the heavens. And he's up there just for a moment. And then the bottom falls out and he's dropped down to the depths. And this mariner, this experienced sailor, he begins to be tossed to and fro. Drunken, like a drunken man, he staggers to and fro. He's trying to get control of his vessel. He's trying to use all of his skill, all of his efforts to get control of, and he can't. And he comes down to this. He comes to his wit's end. He comes to his wit's end, having done all that he can do. And in desperation, he falls down and lays his life into the hands of Jehovah, having nothing else he can do. This sailor, he experiences great peril. He cries in resignation of his weakness and helplessness, but because he is so far from the shore, no one else could hear him. No one but one. Who? God. God is the only one to hear a man in the middle of the ocean, right? No one else. No one else. And at last God comes in power and calms the storm and silences the wave. And in the end you see the sailor, he's glad. He's glad. Happy. Because everything now is quiet. And guess what? He makes it. He gets to his final destination. Now then, this surely is a clear picture of every redeemed sinner who has undertaken to serve God and worship Jesus Christ. You who are redeemed, do you determine to serve God? That's who this is. This sailor is one who is determined to do business in great waters. Every believer in Jesus Christ, every redeemed sinner desires to know Christ more, to love Christ more, to believe in Christ more. And when you determine to do those things, make no mistake, you are going down into deep waters. You're going to do business. This is a serious business. We don't play church. You don't play church, Bruce. We don't play. We're not playing. This is serious. This is life and death. This is serious. And so I want us to see something about this sailor. Who is the sailor, first of all? Four questions here. Who is the sailor? Second of all, who causes the storm? Who causes the storm? And what's the effects of this storm? This storm is caused, it has effects. Thirdly, what is the resolve of the sailor? What is he resolved to do? And fourthly, what is the hope of those who are in the storm? That's what I want to give you, hope to you who are in the storm. First of all, who is this sailor? He said, they that go down into ships and do business in great waters. Notice, first of all, this character, he differs from the rest of them, doesn't he? He's not the rebel. He's not the fool. He's not the wonder. He's not doing evil business. He's doing business. He's doing something good, something right. He's not going out for a pleasure cruise. He's not slothful. He's determined. This person has gone down into the sea in ships to do business, like a fisherman that's not fishing for pleasure, but one who is doing it for a living. Merchant who is hauling precious cargo. He's serious about this. You don't go down in ships like this and do business in great waters for pleasure. Now this man, he's doing something profitable. These men, I perceive, are believers in Christ who seek to worship and serve God in some greater capacity. These are men not wandering or rebels or fools, but those who seek to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who sailors are. These are men that give themselves to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are called to preach and must and do give themselves, all of themselves, their whole self to this business of preaching the gospel. That's what the preacher does. Man who's called of God can't give half. He got to give everything. And God calls him, you bet this, God's going to get everything. I know this, when I started preaching, I thought I gave everything. Nope. I'm still needing to give up so many things. Why? We need to give ourselves to this business, preaching the gospel. We leave their children, they leave their homes, their earthly businesses. Why? So that the gospel should go forth, so that Christ should call His elect. We have a purpose. We have a purpose. It's a good purpose. He that desires the office of a bishop desires a good thing. It's a good thing. And you, believer, do you long to serve Christ more? Do you long that others might hear the gospel? More about Jesus? What I know. We sing that, right? More about Jesus. More about Jesus. Really? You want to know more about Jesus? You want to serve Him? And you pay attention. You're going down in deep waters, friend. You're going down deep waters. It's a serious thing. We go down and do business in great waters. Notice this. First of all, they got to go down. In order to serve God, you got to go down. I believe that's what brother preached this Sunday morning, didn't he? About pride. He said, "Look, if you want to be exalted, then you've got to be servant of everybody. You got to go down. You must go down. If you seek to serve Christ and do His work, then consider that you're a merchant and you must go down and face greater storms and trials than those who are on the shore." I would to God He'd call many to the ministry. You know, I don't know many preachers of the gospel. I just don't. There are very few in this day, and they're getting fewer. Would to God He'd call more men to the ministry to serve. But no matter who God calls to His service, or what capacity, we must consider that the greater the service, the greater the trials. I met a man in our congregation. He was 66 years old when the Lord saved him. And he was so excited, so happy. And I knew right away that he needed his bubble bust. He was thinking everything was going to start going well. And I told him, I said, "Your trouble's just beginning, friend. You're just beginning. This is the beginning of sorrows when you believe on Christ. Great trials and afflictions await those who believe in Christ." And notice these sailors. Notice this. Go back to, look over there in verse 24. I want you to know somebody that desires to serve Christ. He said, "These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep." These sailors, they see the works of the Lord and the wonders in His deep. Those that do business in great waters, we see great things. We learn great things. We learn deep things. Consider the depth of God's electing love. Have you ever plumbed the depth of His electing love? Have you ever reached the bottom of it? No, but we see greater than we saw before. As we grow in grace and knowledge of Christ, we see the depths of His love. We see the depths of Christ suffering on the cross. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we should be made the righteousness of God. Anybody plumb the depth of that yet? No. But I tell you, I see it more now than I did before. Why? I'm doing business in great waters. I'm going to see great wonders. These are wonders, are they not? We see the depth of the work and power of the Holy Spirit in regenerating a sinner. We see these great and wonderful truths, and the more we study them, the more we see them. But I tell you this, we study them, but there's no study like experiencing them. There's nothing like, you study about sailing. But there's nothing like getting out there in the boat and actually getting out there. Now you know how to sail. If you get out there and make it back, you know how to sail. That's experience. I'll tell you this. God, every one of those truths that you know, God will make them experimentally real to you as you do business in His Word. He will make them real to us. One sits and hears the gospel. Surely he's made to know the wonders of works of God's accomplished work in Christ. He may study and know these things by But trials and troubles and afflictions surely make them more real. We experience them through trials. And you know how I know God's faithful? Trials. Experiencing it. I'm reading in the Bible, but there's nothing like experiencing God's deliverance. And then you really begin to learn of God's power and grace in these things. You may read of the afflictions of the apostles, how they were killed for the gospel, but it's altogether different than being persecuted or afflicted for the gospel yourself. You really don't know persecution until you experience it yourself. But God's preachers are sent of Christ to go down in deep. We go down and we're fishers of men, aren't we? Is that what Christ said? Nothing like when God allows you to pull up the net. Is there anything like that? That's wonders in the deep, isn't it? To see that, to experience that God's moving among the people, that's a wonderful thing. I know God saves sinners, but when God saves a sinner in front of me, that's an experience, isn't it? Uses us to do that. Now, the second thing is this. So we know who the sailors are. We know where they're going. We know what they experience and learn, but what happens? Look at what causes this storm. That's the next thing that comes up. Look at the verse 25. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. You listen, believer in Christ, if you desire to serve God in this world, you long to further the gospel and know more of Christ, and you go down and do business in great waters, expect trouble. Now, if you don't expect trouble, you're in trouble already. You better expect it. If everything's going well, something's wrong. That just don't happen very often. It does happen. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. Sometimes God gives us peaceful times and good times. But those are not the norm for the believer in this world. It's not. Find me one apostle that had that. Great times of prosperity. Anybody? No, you won't find it. God's people. If one should leave his home and family and preach the gospel, I know this, many people expect that all should go well with him. Right? If you give everything to God, most people believe that everything should be well with you. Bruce, you give your life for the gospel. You give you everything you've got to preaching the gospel. And most people think, well, Bruce, man, the way is open for you. Everything's going well with Bruce. Not one trouble, right? No. We know that's not the truth. In fact, that's exactly the opposite of the truth. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. This world hated me, it will hate you. You should expect trouble. Well, where does it come from? Now, that's a good question. Where does trouble come from? God. Have you just mark it down? God. Notice your text. Who's raising the storm? He commandeth and raiseth the stormy winds. The Lord did it. The scripture says, is there evil in the city, and hath not the Lord done it? Our God is in the heavens and hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And whatever is happening in time and eternity, in every minute, detailed circumstance, you can mark it and trace it back to God. Everything. He is doing all things after the counsel of His own will. So have you undertaken to serve God? Are you in such a great storm? Have the waves beat on your soul? Is the thunder of God's chastising hand feel heavy on you? Do the winds blow contrary to your efforts and service? Then be sure the winds and waves are not by chance. Satan, who it says he's the prince of the power of the air. You listen, he's only a pretender. God controls the air. He's the king that controls the wind and the waves of your circumstance. Everything. Remember those disciples, they went out on that sea. Jesus commanded them to go out. He said, you boys get in the boat and go to the other side. I'll meet you there. They got in like they were commanded and they began to row, and the wind was contrary to them, and they were toiling in rowing. They were rowing and going nowhere. The summation, I believe, of my ministry. That's how I feel. Many times you just row and row and row and row and you feel like you ain't moved an inch. So, who's causing the wind? Christ, you remember, He's on the mountain. He saw them. That Scripture said that. He saw them toiling and rowing, didn't He? Why? He knew what He was doing. He was doing it. And He came to them walking on the very trouble that they couldn't overcome. Our Lord commanded them to do it. He made that. It was the Lord that sent this great wind. Now look at verse 26. They mount up to heaven. Look at the effects of this storm. They mount up to heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Here's the effect of all God's storms to those of His children. There's that little craft doing business in deep waters, in great waters. A storm rages. It beats. You see the waves. They're oscillating up and down. At 1 minute, that storm blows and the ship is raised up and it could almost reach heaven. It's so high. But it only sustains that one moment there and it's dropped down to the depths. You know, when a wave comes up, as high as a wave goes up, it goes down. And that one who's on top will soon be on the bottom. He's dropped down to the depths. And there's that experienced sailor who was once firm and sure of his business. Now his feet begin to slip and slide. The waves toss him and he staggers like a drunken man. The mariner, the skilled mariner, he tries to right the ship. He's going from one line to the next. He's going from the rudder to the wheel. He's trying everything he possibly can to save his life and his craft. As well he should. Until what? He's done all he can do. He comes to the end. The sail is torn. The rudder is broken. The lines are cut. And he falls down at his wit's end. No hope. Hopeless. Hopeless. Surely this is the experience of everyone who has served God in great waters. God at times lifts us up to heaven so that we could feel His presence. Have you had that, Ruth? There's nothing like that. Nothing more I desire in the world than to be in the presence of Christ. There's nothing greater to be lifted up. As though you could touch His face. And in a moment, you drop to the depths. You don't get to stay there long. It's like a vapor. It just comes and it just goes. And just as high as you were, God measures it out and He drops you down. To the depths. To the abyss. Lifts you up to heaven and drops you down. Then what? You stagger. Those sea legs that were once sure in the calm now quake like jello. Your faith begins to wane. Your hope slips away. And you don't even know if you're a believer or not. What pain. What pain for the believer. Is there any? 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thoughts. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? What redeemed person has not been dropped to the depths so as that your faith is non-existent? And what do? We try to right the ship. We do all we can. We take all of our skill, all of our learning, all of our study, and we try to right the ship to no avail. Why? Because merit doesn't do it. Isn't that what you do when you lose faith? You try to make it up somehow? It's foolish flesh. Vain labors. And then you are made to come to your wits' end. You see, that's the purpose of the storm to begin with. To bring you to your wits' end. Friend, have you been brought to your wits' end? Are you there? Listen, if you're not there, wait a minute. Give yourself a minute. You'll be there. This message may not, you may be at the high point right now. Just a minute. You'll come down. Why? God's designed the storm that way. If you're in the storm, has the enemy come in like a flood and assaulted your soul on every side? Has the flesh beat against your soul so that you see no hope in yourself? Good. That's the purpose of the storm. The purpose of the storm is to show you your helplessness. Your inability. This is always God's purpose to bring us to the end of ourselves. Now, what is the resolve of the sailor? Look at this. Verse 28, then. Now, I want you to know, he didn't cry in the calm. He didn't cry when the storm started. He didn't cry in the middle of the storm. He cried when he had nowhere else to go. Isn't that your case? Isn't that's my case. It's sad. It is a sad commentary on every believer that we wait till we are at our wits' end to call. What if somebody did that to you all the time? Waited till you'd be the last person they call. They did everything, and you're always the last one they call. I'd be frustrated. I don't think I'd help them. I really wouldn't. Why didn't you call me earlier? I could have been there earlier. Listen. Thank God he's not like us. God's not like us. Then they cried unto the Lord, and look what he did. He cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth out them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so the waves are still. Believer, remember this when you are crying unto God. God never hears you because of you. If God ever hears you because of you, it's not God. God hears you because of Christ. That's it. That's the only reason God will ever hear you, and that's a good reason, because then He will always hear you. If you're in Christ, you have this hope. In every storm, when you cry, He hears. And not only does He hear, He will deliver you out of every trouble, every trial. Has that not been your experience? You that have been going down in great waters for many years, has it not always been your experience? When you resolve to cry unto the Lord, He hears you. He comes to you. Remember how He came to those disciples walking on the water? How did He come? Did He chide them when they were afraid? No. He said, "Fear not. It is I. Be not afraid." And the moment He stepped in the boat, they were there. I love that. They were there. So then what is the end of this? What is the hope of this? Do you desire to serve God this year? I mean, we all better make your New Year's resolution. You desire to serve God? Listen to this. You going down in great waters, friend. And God's going to raise a storm. It's going to beat your little craft. And God's going to bring you to your wits' end for one purpose, that you should cry unto Him. that you should see that Christ is all. Christ is all. He's all your hope. He's all your life. He's all your salvation. And notice this. Look at this. He makes it to come, but not only that, they are glad. Aren't you glad when He hears you? Aren't you glad? I bet you are happier after He hears you than before the storm ever started. You were happy before the storm ever started. You're happier now. You're happier now. Why? You've experienced something of God's mercy. You've experienced something of God's power, of God's love. They're glad. And so He bringeth them to their desired haven. I'll close with this. Philippians 1:6. Being confident. Anybody confident? What are you confident in? Yourself? Any confidence in self? Not after a storm. I bet you don't have any confidence in yourself after a storm. No. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. If you go through one storm or 10 storms or 50 storms, this is your hope. Believer, you will make it. I read this. I think Bruce wrote it. I can't mess this up. What a wonderful thing. I can't mess this up. Don't you know that your salvation is something done outside of you? And then it's something worked in you. And then it's something kept by the power of God. No matter what. May God give us grace to do business in great waters for the furtherance of the gospel. And when we're in the storm, remember who sent it. God did. Remember why He sent it. Bring you your wits in. Call on the Lord and He will quiet the storm. And you'll be glad. You'll be glad. I'm glad God has made me a man, a redeemed man. One redeemed by the blood of Christ. Unworthy, yet redeemed, called. I pray God bless this to you.
Good, Fred. Very, very, very good. I want to leave us with this word before we go back to share a little meal together. Paul said we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Thank you, Fred. Brother Baker, would you dismiss us?